At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana. At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana. At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the NFL Wrap-Up, this post-Thanksgiving edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. I hope you had a very happy, safe, and blessed Thanksgiving. Hope you ate some turkey, also had some dressing and some cranberry sauce. Also, while you've had your fill of your football fix, well, I have your fill of your NFL Wrap-Up with all your content, because coming up on the program, we'll recap the Thanksgiving Day games. We'll preview Week 12's most important game. And, of course, I'll have an interview this week with your boy Q. Q is the host of the Locked On Raiders podcast, and he's also the co-host of Silver and Black Today, and he's a contributor to the Black Hole Banter. Man, I tell you what, some great stuff happened during the Thanksgiving weekend, or Thanksgiving Day, I should say. Again, I hope you had a safe and a blessed one. And, again, a lot of stuff happened over the holiday, but first we're going to get you to your scores for the Thanksgiving Day games. Let's start off with the Houston Texans and the Detroit Lions. This was never close. The Texans came out and handled their business. Deshaun Watson completed 17 out of 25 passes for 318 yards, and he had four touchdown passes. Also, J.J. Watt returned an interception for a touchdown. Meanwhile, for the Lions, Adrian Peterson, he scored two rushing touchdowns, but it didn't matter because the Houston Texans were going to beat the Detroit Lions 41-25. And in the following game, the afternoon game between the Washington football team and the Dallas Cowboys, started off close in the first half, but the second half belonged to Washington. Alex Smith threw a touchdown pass and had an interception in the game, but Antonio Gibson, three rushing touchdowns in the contest. Defense was strong with the likes of Chase Young and also Jeremy Reeves, and also Montez Sweat had an interception. The Cowboys, meanwhile, still looking for answers since the injury to Dak. Andy Dalton threw a touchdown, but he also had an interception as well. Amari Cooper had a touchdown, but in the end, it was too much Washington, as the Washington football team would go on to beat the Dallas Cowboys 41-16. And of course, the late news that happened, which I'll get to in one of my storylines, the Ravens and the Steelers were supposed to happen on Thanksgiving night. It did not happen. Lamar Jackson, Ravens quarterback, tested positive for COVID-19. J.K. Dobbins, Mark Ingram, and more players and staff tested positive for the Baltimore Ravens. So no Ravens and Steelers. That game was postponed until this weekend. But again, the final scores on your Thanksgiving games: the Houston Texans 41, the Detroit Lions 25, and the Washington football team beat the Dallas Cowboys 41-16. Okay, and that was your recap. Those were your scores for the Thanksgiving Day games. All right, now it's time for, as this time now, for my top three storylines. I'm going to start off with the Houston Texans. The Texans came out of the gate on this Thanksgiving game. They came out blazing saddles and handled their business, beating the Detroit Lions, not just on the offensive side, but on the defensive side as well. Now, granted, this is their second straight win. In last week's game, in Week 11, they beat the New England Patriots in a close game, 27-20. But, man, they came out blazing saddles against this game, against the Detroit Lions. And Deshaun Watson, again, the Texans are 4-7. They still have a chance to – they're still in the hunt to get a wild card spot, but they're going to have to win out the rest of the way. But the way they played on Thanksgiving was lights out. We know Detroit is a team that plays every Thanksgiving. As long as I've been alive, they played on every Thanksgiving day. But, man, I was expecting a close game. This game was close for about the first half, and then Houston just ran away with it. But give credit not just to Deshaun Watson. Duke Johnson played a good game. Will Fuller played a good game. Brandon Cooks. Defensively, J.J. Watt returned an interception for a touchdown. So Houston, again, is one of those teams that have been really disrespected in the AFC. Where do they go from here? We don't know. I know they have a tough game coming up next week against the Indianapolis Colts. As I mentioned earlier, they're going to have to win out the rest of the way. But again, kudos to the Houston Texans for winning on Thanksgiving Day. My next storyline is going to be the Dallas Cowboys. Man, you talk about a fall from grace. Look, okay, the injury to Dak Prescott. Andy Dalton comes in, he suffers an injury, then he tests positive for COVID-19. And then on the heels of losing their strength and conditioning coach, Marcus Paul, 2020 has been a bummer for everybody, but it's been an extreme bummer for the Dallas Cowboys. And they had to come in on the heels, again, of losing their strength and conditioning coach to take on their NFC East longtime rival, the Washington football team. I expected this game to be close. I mean, after all, this is Washington and Dallas. This is the long-time rivalry. This game was close for about one half, and after that, Washington just ran away with it. And I don't know what's going on in Dallas. I don't know if the Dak injury has had an effect, or if it's Mike McCarthy and the coaching, or Kellen Moore and the offensive coordinator. I don't know what it is. And for Dallas's defense to allow 41 points like that, the last three seasons, Dallas had like a top five defense in the league. And for them to allow so many points this year and then to allow 41 to Washington on Thanksgiving Day, that's nuts, man. That is nuts. I don't know what's going on in Dallas. I don't know if it's McCarthy. I don't know if it's the coordinators. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if they've been haven't been inspired since Dak, or we know the recent tragedy that happened with one of their key staff members. But, man, I don't to make a Dallas this year. Every year Dallas is always picked to go to the Super Bowl. The expectations are so high for them. On paper, they have got a solid squad. They've got a team that can they can beat people. I just don't know. Every year, I don't know, Cowboy fans just seem to be let down. I don't know what's going on with Dallas, but I know one thing, it's going to be a lot of issues, a lot of things happening during this offseason. But believe it or not, Dallas still has a chance to win the NFC East. That's how bad the division has been this year. Washington is in first place currently at 4-7. Stay tuned for that. And for my last storyline, COVID-19. COVID-19 has been the storyline of 2020, and it could be a major storyline going forward, but it's had its impact on everyday life and in society, and it's had a great impact in the world of professional sports. The Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson tested positive for COVID-19. Also, Mark Ingram, J.K. Dobbins tested positive, and there were also more players and more staff members that tested positive for COVID-19. Now, granted, the NFL has already said that the game is still a go. The game will still go on as planned. We've seen cases like this where games have been postponed, games have been moved, games have been scheduled, and things of that nature. I can tell you this much. The league that has handled the COVID-19 situation the best is the NBA. The NBA, with such a short amount of time, we saw what they did with the bubble and how well it was put together. It was phenomenal. The NFL had the most time, and they just had not handled this thing well. I mean, going forward, we can expect games to be moved because more and more players, more and more teams are being affected by COVID-19. The weather is getting colder in many regions across the country. So it's definitely something that we're going to have to keep our eyes and ears open to. But in the short term, the Ravens and Steelers were supposed to play on Thanksgiving night. It didn't happen. So the league postponed it to a Sunday afternoon game, an early game. And as of right now, of course, Lamar Jackson will not play. Trace McSorley will not play because he's also on the COVID-19 reserve list. So Robert Griffin III is expected to be the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, this is as far as the Steelers are concerned. The Steelers have postponed practices, and they're going to do things remotely, and they'll be ready for Baltimore on Sunday. So, again, this is a developing situation, not just with the Ravens, but with a lot of teams in the NFL that are really starting to feel the effects of COVID-19. So definitely we need to something, again, we've been keeping our eyes and ears open to for a long time, and definitely something we'll keep our eyes and ears open to going forward. All right, that takes care of the first segment. When we come back from the break, I have an interview with your boy Q from the Locked On Raiders podcast. Also, he's the co-host of the Silver and Black Today, and he's a contributor to Black Hole Banter. I'm Ed Robinson, and thank you so much for joining me on this post-Thanksgiving edition of the NFL Wrap-Up.
At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana. At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana. At AmeriHealth.
At Community Coffee, we've been making great tasting coffee for over 100 years. But what makes us different isn't just how long we've been around. It's how far we're willing to go in pursuit of the perfect cup. We select only the finest beans and use over 4 generations of family roasting experience to give you the richest, most delicious coffee around. Find Community Coffee at your local grocery store or visit communitycoffee.com to order some today.
Caritas, Louisiana. We help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas, Louisiana.
You know what this is?
A commercial.
Right, and you know what that means.
Time for a snack?
Wrong. I want you to do some heart-healthy exercise. Yes, you! Try some seated leg extensions right now. Just lift each leg up and extend it straight one at a time, 6 to 8 times.
I can do that.
Yes, you can. Remember, every commercial is a chance to sneak in heart-healthy activity. Visit FindExerciseAnywhere.com and speak with your doctor to learn more about the risks of heart failure. You know what this is?
A commercial.
Right, and you know what that means.
Time for a snack?
Wrong. I want you to do some heart-healthy exercise. Yes, you! Try some seated leg extensions right now. Just lift each leg up and extend it straight one at a time, 6 to 8 times.
I can do that.
Yes, you can. Remember, every commercial is a chance to sneak in heart-healthy activity. Visit FindExerciseAnywhere.com and speak with your doctor to learn more about the risks of heart failure.
All right.
You know what this is?
A commercial.
Right, and you know what that means.
Time for a snack?
Wrong. I want you to do some heart-healthy exercise. Yes, you! Try some seated leg extensions right now. Just lift each leg up and extend it straight one at a time, 6 to 8 times.
I can do that.
Yes, you can. Remember, every commercial is a chance to sneak in heart-healthy activity. Visit FindExerciseAnywhere.com and speak with your doctor to learn more about the risks of heart failure.
At AmeriHealth Caritas, Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas, Louisiana.
Hi, I'm Liz Munoz, CEO of Torrid. We know the holidays are going to look a bit different this year, so we're celebrating our way. Whether you're looking for shine and sparkle or warm and cozy, we have all your favorite things designed to fit your curves perfectly. From our most loved bombshell jeans to our life-changing wire-free bras, we have everything you need for this holiday season and all year round. So visit Torrid.com or our 600 stores and feel the fit today.
Welcome back to the program. The Oakland Raiders had a chance to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, but they didn't do so in the game in week 11 against the arch rival Kansas City Chiefs. The final score was a close one, and we have a gentleman on that is the host of a podcast called the Locked On Raiders podcast. We're going to talk about the Chiefs game, and we're also going to talk about the offense and defense and more. We want to welcome to the program your boy Q. Hello, Q. How's everything, my man?
Doing really good, man. I appreciate you having me on the show. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, man. Once again, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So let's start off with the AFC West rival between the Oakland Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Raiders had it in the bag, but my homeboy and the company, they came back and wind up winning the game with a touchdown pass to Travis Kelce. Before we delve deep into the game, Q, I got to ask you, give me your highlights and lowlights of the game.
Well, I mean, it was a fantastic game. It's Sunday Night Football. Everybody's watching. You know, you're on the big stage. It's the Raiders. It's the Chiefs. And I Las Vegas Raiders, but it's the Las Vegas Raiders now. It's not the Oakland Raiders. But you're in the playing in the Taj Mahal and Sin City right there. And it was just a fantastic game. Like you said, Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr, you know, these guys are playing at the top of the level right now. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is the reigning Super Bowl MVP. Derek Carr is playing at a very high level. John Gruden, Andy Reid. I mean, it was all set up for fantastic action. Obviously, the Raiders picked up that victory week 5, and a lot was to do about the victory lap around Arrowhead Stadium. So there was a lot of trash talking going on, but just a great atmosphere for a game. The only thing that was missing was fans. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. And just being in the building, being in Allegiant Stadium there in Las Vegas, that was really my highlight for the whole game, just because you got to see it up close and personal and witness it with no fans, which is strange. Let me tell you, it's very strange, but it was still an awesome game.
I stand corrected. I did say Oakland. My apologies, the Las Vegas Raiders. I've been, you know, California team, the Chargers. It took me a year or two to say, oh, no, they don't play anymore. They're back there in L.A. But now the Las Vegas Raiders, I stand corrected. Thank you so much, sir. We're going to delve deep more into this game. Las Vegas Raiders tight end Jason Witten scored a touchdown in this game. I'm going to play an audio clip, and we'll be right back.
Carr looking, coverage is great, finally throwing, and that will be caught for the touchdown by, of all people, Jason Witten.
All right, that audio was courtesy of the National Football League and NBC Sports. That was Al Michaels with the call. That was Las Vegas Raiders tight end Jason Witten scoring a touchdown against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, Q, Darren Waller has really been one of the bright spots on that offense for the Las Vegas Raiders. But when Jason Witten scored a touchdown, that was interesting right there. And remember, the Raiders had taken the lead in that contest with the touchdown late in the quarter. Give me your thoughts on Jason scoring the touchdown, and what was your mood like when the Raiders had jumped ahead late in the quarter?
Well, it was exciting, man. I mean, the whole game was back and forth, but that particular moment, you know, a couple plays before, Jason Witten had got called for a false start, so he lost 5 yards. And so it's almost like he taketh away and then he giveth right back, because he gets open in the corner of the end zone for a touchdown. And really, that was just a scramble drill. I mean, the play was designed for him to be all along, but the Kansas City Chiefs covered it up really, really well. So he kept working and kept working and kept working, and that's why the Raiders brought him in from Dallas, man. He's a veteran. He's a guy who knows how to get it done in crunch time, and that was crunch time right there. They had to have 6. They got 6. The only problem was, and I looked up at the board as soon as it happened and said, well, there's still a minute 43 left in this game, and that's a long time for Patrick Mahomes and that high flyer defense, or that offense that the Chiefs have. So I was really concerned about to stop the Chiefs.
Yeah, and you mentioned it as the Raiders took the lead late in the quarter, but Patrick Mahomes, I mean, he's just worked his magic once again as we'll listen to the game-winning touchdown.
Well, the Chiefs actually helped them.
Great protection again. Mahomes to the end zone, wide open. Touchdown, Kelce.
Right, again, that audio was courtesy of NBC Sports and Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth on the call. So, Q, Patrick Mahomes throwing the game-winning touchdown pass to Travis Kelce against the Las Vegas Raiders in Week 11. So the Raiders, they had the game, but as you mentioned earlier, you cannot sleep on Patrick Mahomes and that high-powered offense. What thoughts were running through your mind as the touchdown happened?
Well, it made all the sense in the world. All game long, the Raiders have struggled. Mahomes and the Chiefs, and you know, again, I saw there was too much left on the clock, and I just didn't, his defense, which has struggled all year long, get stops when they really, really needed them, enough they were going to be able to do it. And the Chiefs went up and down the field really, really easy. And on that play right there that you just heard, that was a blown coverage by Jonathan Abram, the young safety. They're in coverage 4 right there. He's supposed to have that responsibility. He he vacates his area because he sees Patrick Mahomes start to roll out. And so as soon as he vacates the area, that leaves it wide open for a guy like Travis Kelce. You can't do that because he's going to make that play 10 out of 10 times. And so they did. And I saw that there's only 28 seconds left in the game. And I thought, all right, well, that's a wrap. You know, that the Raiders are going to lose this one. But, I mean, just a well-fought game. It was very entertaining. Again, it was Sunday Night Football, one of the most watched Sunday Night Football games all season long. It was everything it was billed to be. It just didn't come out on the right side for the Raiders. But still, it was a heck of a game.
Well, you mentioned the Raiders didn't come out as well for the Las Vegas Raiders. And Derek Carr and the offense had one last chance, but this is how it ended.
Davis to the play. Sammy Davis, let's see. Deep down the sideline. That's going to be picked off at the 43-yard line. That's Daniel Sorensen. He'll stop right there, and the Kansas City Chiefs will be flying home with a victory.
All right, so that was Kansas City Chiefs safety Daniel Sorensen sealing the game with the interception in Week 11 with the victory over the Las Vegas Raiders. All right, so Q, just the Raiders offense had an opportunity. Derek Carr had a chance to show what he was made of, and looked like when I watched it, he underthrew that pass. What was your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, it was an underthrow, but he was just trying to force it. He was trying to force it down the field. He knew he only had 28 seconds left, and so there was not a lot of time. He had to have a touchdown, so he was just trying to get it down there as quick as possible. And Nelson Aguilar had been his guy, his go-to guy, the whole season, really. He's been a surprise coming over from the Eagles. And so I wasn't surprised when he threw that ball. I wasn't surprised when it got picked off, and I wasn't really even upset at it. Just kind of realized that that's how the game shook out. Once Kelce caught that touchdown, the game was a wrap. You know, it was over right then. So I wasn't really upset at Derek Carr. He was just trying to make a play. But that was a gut punch, man. That was one of those. I labeled it the next day on my podcast, a gut punch for the Raiders, because they had it, like you mentioned early. They had an opportunity to win that one and sweep the Kansas City Chiefs. That would have been big for their confidence. That would have been big, the whole NFL, that, hey, the Raiders are back. And, well, they just fell a little short. But now they got to turn the page to Atlanta Falcons. They're up next. They can't let Kansas City beat them twice.
Rightfully so. So, again, the final score in Sunday Night Football is the Kansas City Chiefs 35, the Las Vegas Raiders 31. All right, Q, let's stay with the Raiders offense. I want to get to this running game. Josh Jacobs has been outstanding all year, even when the Raiders in their last year in Oakland, he's really come on strong as one of the premier young talent in the league and one of the emerging running backs. Give me your take on Josh thus far in Las Vegas this year and then going forward.
Well, Josh is just everything that he's meant to be. You know, the Raiders picked him number 24 overall early in 2019 in the draft because he's a guy. You know, he's a big-time player. He's an alpha dog, I like to call him. He's one of those dudes, you know, and he's just a big-time running back. You know, he's one of those guys that you could depend on. You can give him the ball 20, 25 times a game, and he's going to take you there. You know, his rookie year, he had over 1,100 yards rushing. This year, he has a running mate in Devontae Booker that's been able to keep him fresh longer so he can – get those 25 carries, and you know, they could be a good 1-2 punch. And so he has 7 or 8 touchdowns on the city. Josh Jacobs has been a real deal, you know, also trying to keep him healthy. You know, this NFL is not an easy business, so they're trying to keep this guy healthy by spelling him with Devontae Booker as well. And I just think that those two have been great. But, yeah, Josh Jacobs is a real deal running back, definitely top 5 in the league right now. So very pleased with what I see from the young man out of Tulsa, but Alabama.
Yeah, man, Josh Jacobs has really lit the league up since he's entered. And, of course, in last year in Oakland, as I mentioned, and now the first year in Las Vegas, he's really taken that momentum and that consistency into this new year. Now, we know that our coach, John Gruden, he loves to pass the ball, and he's got some quality receivers. I mentioned the tight end, Darren Waller. Darren has had a Pro Bowl caliber year. Give me your take on D. Waller this year.
Well, he's one of the best tight ends in the league, no doubt about it. You know, he's right up there with Travis Kelce. He's right up there with George Kittle. He's right up there with the best of them. I mean, he's a guy that came out of nowhere and looked like his career was over because of drug abuse. And, you know, he was just for a whole year, and he was on Baltimore's practice squad. And Greg Olsen, the offensive coordinator for the Raiders, found him, saw him one day before they played each other, and said, hey, that's a guy that we could use in our offense. And John Gruden and them made the call, went and got him. And last year he put up a heck of a season, like you mentioned. Should have been a Pro Bowler last year, you know, and he's putting up similar numbers again this year. He's the real deal. And when Darren Waller's out there cooking and Derek Carr feels very comfortable throwing on the ball, They're a great 1-2 punch right there. So yeah, Darren Waller has been a joy to watch, and his story is awesome as well. So he's one of those guys that you just want to root for, because you see that he went from something that was bad and he turned it into something very, very positive, and now he's just taking advantage of his opportunities that he has. So yeah, I love everything that I see from Darren Waller, and I think he's just going to continue to get better, which is scary for the rest of the league.
Yeah, it is, Gary. It's always fun watching him. And you mentioned this gentleman, Nelson Aguilar. Now, when Nelson was in Philadelphia, of course, he was a member of that Super Bowl winning team with Nick Foles and Alshon Jeffrey, and also with LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi. But now this is Nelson. You can correct me if I'm wrong. His first year with the Las Vegas Raiders. And Nelson, not just Nelson, had a great game this past Sunday night against Kansas City, and he's had a fairly decent year in Las Vegas. Give me your take on Nelson and what he brings to the table with the Raiders.
Well, he shocked me. I mean, to tell you the truth, when the Raiders signed him out of Philadelphia, I thought, oh, he's probably not even going to make it out of training camp, because I realized how he left Philadelphia. He had the case of the dropsies. You know, he was a guy that all Philadelphia fans were angry at. He would always drop the easy catches, and so they were mad. And look, if you're a wide receiver and you're putting the ball on the ground, what are you know, you're not really worth anything. So I didn't think he was going to really even be a player for the Raiders this year. He comes out of training camp. All the coaches have been talking great about him, how much they've seen from him in camp, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I'll wait to see it. Well, now he just goes ahead and leaves the team in touchdown catches right now. And he did have a couple drops, though. He had a couple drops on Sunday that still has those moments every once in a while, but he's a guy that Derek Carr is very comfortable with, and that's the most important thing. Derek Carr will throw you the ball and give you an opportunity to make a play, just like he did at the end of that game, even though it was intercepted, if he trusts you. If he believes in you and thinks that you're going to go and do everything you can to make a play, he'll throw that ball up there. He'll give you that chance. If he doesn't trust you, he'll check it down and throw it to someone else. So Aguilar and Carr, they got a really good relationship. He's a veteran, like you mentioned. He's a Super Bowl winner. So when, you know, times get tough and maybe you hit a lull, like you have this game, you lose to Kansas City, a veteran like him, a veteran like Jason Witten, could get into the locker room and say, hey, it's one game, guys. It's only one loss. We have six more games still guaranteed. Get out there, get back on a winning streak, and let's find the playoffs, and then let's go dance. You know, and so that's why I think it's really important that he's there, not only what he's contributing on the field, but also what he does and provides in the locker room.
Yeah, and speaking of providing and bringing an edge to the locker room, two talented young receivers for the Las Vegas Raiders. We have Hunter Renfrow and, of course, Henry Ruggs, who just lit it up. Well, Hunter Renfrow lit it up at Clemson, and Henry Ruggs was a standout at Alabama. Give me your thoughts on what they've done so far this year, and how do you see them going forward?
Well, I like what I see with Hunter Renfrow. He's a second-year guy now out of Clemson, like you mentioned. He's that guy that I always say is going to give you the quality catch, not necessarily the quantity of catches. He's not going to get five, six, seven catches a game, but he's going to give you that third down completion. He's going to give you that big play that you need. You're looking for a red zone target. He's going to sit down in that zone and make himself available. He always comes up with a big play when necessary. And then this year, the Raiders have used him as a punt returner as well. He's been doing really good at that too. And he told me personally, we talk to him every Monday on another radio show I do on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio. We talk to him every Monday, and he told me, he's like, hey, at Clemson, they let me return punts, but they said just fair catch it, and that's it. Don't try to return it. With the Raiders, they're asking him to return it. You know, go get some yards after you catch the ball, after you field it. So he's enjoying that, and he had one big one a couple weeks ago that was returned that got called back because of a silly penalty on Jonathan Abram. But he's been a dynamic player, man. He's really fun to watch. So Hunter Renfrow, two thumbs up with him. The rookie Henry Ruggs out of Alabama, he's got speed to kill. The Raiders just haven't used him that much. He just hasn't been targeted as much as Raider Nation would like to see. I would like to see him involved in the offense a little bit more. I know he's got speed. I know there's weapons all over the field, so it's kind of hard just to focus in on one guy and make sure that he's getting the rock all the time. But I kind of feel like him and Carr, their chemistry is just not on par with each other right now, because I feel like if they were, he'd be going to them more. I mean, he went to them one time in that Kansas City game, and that was late in the fourth quarter. So I think the jury's still out on Henry Ruggs. I think he's a heck of a player. I know that it's not just about catches with him. He's also a heck of a blocker. Like I said, he's got that speed to kill. So, I mean, he's going to get involved. He's going to get lathered up in this offense. We just haven't seen it yet. And so when we do, I think it's going to be fun to see. But, again, it's kind of still a work in progress. But two thumbs up with Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah, indeed. Two thumbs up to Hunter Renfro. He's played nicely thus far this year for Las Vegas. I want to move on now to the defensive side. COVID-19 has changed a lot of things, not just in sports, but in everyday life. It has affected the Raiders not once, but twice this year, then particularly on the defensive side. Cleveland Ferrell, we've seen some bright spots from him this year, but again, he's been on the COVID-19 list. Corey Littleton has been on the COVID-19 list, but however, there have been some bright spots on the defensive side for Las Vegas. LaMarcus Joyner, you mentioned Jonathan Abram earlier, also Raekwon McMillan's been nice. How about Max Crosby leading the team in sacks? Just give me your take on those guys as well as the Raiders' defense.
Well, the Raiders' defense in general has been it's been hit or miss. I mean, they've had their moments, like you mentioned. They've had bright spots here and there. They just haven't had it consistently enough. You know, they haven't gone out there and shown what they can do on a consistent basis, which is another reason why they lost that game on Sunday to Kansas City. You got a minute 43, and you just got to keep them out the end zone. And I say just, but that's what your job is. Hey, keep them out the end zone. And they weren't able to get any pressure on them. They weren't able to, you know, slow them down. They had a couple silly penalties as well to aid Kansas City on, and they lose that game. So the defense has been frustrating. It's been better at times. Jonathan Abram, he's one of those guys that you love. You love his energy. You love what he brings to the table. But then he'll make a big-time mistake, and you know it's just because he's a young dude still, and he's still learning, and it's just frustrating. You know, Damon Arnett, he's a rookie out of Ohio State, the cornerback. He just got activated from COVID-19. Plus, he got activated from the IR list. He had a thumb injury. And, you know, he's a bright spot. But, again, he's still learning. So there's a lot of pieces that are trying to figure things out. Crosby, you mentioned he's leading the team in sacks. He is, and that's great, but it's only six, and the team doesn't have enough sacks in general. You know what I mean? He's got six, but nobody else on the team really is contributing as far as sacks go. So they just all got to get on the same page and get better. And if they're trying to make this playoff run, which I do believe they're a playoff team, they're going to make this run, man. This defense has got to get tightened up. They've got to find ways to get stops. They've got to find ways to get pressure on the quarterback, turn the ball over a couple times. I mean, they've got a lot of work to do defensively. The offense, it can run with anybody in the league. The defense, it needs a lot of work.
Yeah, the defense does need a lot of work, but there's a bright spot. Las Vegas just recently added Tack McKinley. Now, Tack McKinley has had his issues with several teams, and he had some issues with Atlanta. He had some solid seasons playing with the Falcons, which we'll talk more about in a little bit, and then he played a little bit with the 49ers, but didn't see much action. But now Tack McKinley is a Raider defensive lineman. Just give me your thoughts on him and what he'll bring to the defense.
I'm interested to see what he brings to the defense. You know, he's a guy that was released by the Falcons. He was a malcontent there in Atlanta, got 17.5 career sacks. And then Cincinnati, the Bengals, they picked him up on waivers, but he failed a physical, so they cut him. And then 49ers, they picked him up off waivers, but he failed a physical, so they cut him. Now the Raiders, they picked him up off waivers. Will he pass the physical? We'll see. So that's the first step. Is he going to pass the physical? And if so, then what do the Raiders do with him? Me personally, I think that they will keep him on the practice squad because of this COVID-19 and because you can have an expanded practice squad this year. I think they leave him on the COVID-19 or on the practice squad for a while. Let him get into shape. Let him learn what he's supposed to do. And maybe, you know, maybe for the stretch run, maybe for the last few games of the season, he's a guy that can go contribute a little bit. We'll see. I'm interested to see what his role is. I'm interested to see what Vic Beasley's role is as well, as another former Falcon that the Raiders recently signed.
Yeah, Vic Beasley was great during his years in Atlanta, and he played a little while in Tennessee, so that's definitely going to be interesting on the defensive side. Now, we know Coach John Gruden loves his quarterbacks. The NFL is a quarterback's league. Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, Matt Ryan, Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, and now we have Derek Carr. So a lot of people are saying the jury is still kind of out on Derek, and he's definitely had his spots. He's definitely had his moments. It seemed as though a few years ago when the franchise was still in Oakland, they had a chance to – you could correct me if I'm wrong. They were on their way. They were going to play they played Houston in the wild card game. He didn't play in that game due to an injury, so Connor Cook came in, and we know how that season ended. But overall, Derek Carr has been pretty effective for the Raiders when it was in Oakland, now in Las Vegas. Give me your take on Derek going forward.
Yeah, I mean, Derek's been he's been good for the franchise. He really has. I mean, the Raiders overall for years, ever since Rich Gannon, has been a team that has just rotated as far as the quarterback position goes. So when he got drafted 7 years ago, he saw that position. He actually came in and said, hey, I'm being this the next 3 years in there. He didn't have books. They called, you know, whatever quarterback, Carson Palmer. You didn't have any of these guys was in there. That was, and it's, you're talking about against Houston in the playoffs. He was playing really well, you know, and he breaks his ankle in the Christmas Eve game against the Colts. And so Connor Cook gets the call, and he's not able to do anything. And Connor Cook's not even in the league anymore. So that lets you know what kind of quarterback he is. So, and the Raiders haven't, you know, been back to the playoffs since 2016. This year, though, what Derek Carr is doing, after a lot of people talked about him and said maybe John Gruden's looking to replace him, maybe Tom Brady's going to be the new quarterback in Vegas, maybe someone else is going to come in Vegas, maybe they'll draft a guy. What Derek Carr has done that has been impressive to me is something I've been asking him to do for now, and he hasn't done really since early in his career, and that's move with his legs. Use his legs to keep plays alive. Use his legs to pick up some first downs. Use his legs to scramble a little bit and move the pocket and let a wide receiver get open, you know, because it's hard to cover for more than a couple seconds in the league. So if Derek Carr can buy a couple seconds of time, it'll allow a Nelson Aguilar, a Henry Ruggs, a Hunter Renfrow, Jason Witten, Darren Waller. It'll allow those guys to get open. And that's what he's been doing this year that has been very impressive. If you go back and look at what he did Sunday night, he moved the pocket so many times and gave himself a couple extra seconds and then made a nice throw. And, I mean, he was picture perfect. He was picture perfect on Sunday night. You couldn't ask for him to do anything more. This is the third year under John Gruden, and it's just really showing that him and Gruden are definitely on the same page. I don't think there's any question anymore. If Derek Carr is definitely the franchise quarterback moving forward, I think he is. And to be honest with you, I think he's up for a contract extension sooner rather than later, to be honest.
I was going to ask you that question if the Gruden and Carr relationship seems to be working, and you've already affirmed, you said that it has worked thus far. What are the intangibles that John Gruden sees in Derek Carr in terms of him being the Raiders franchise quarterback?
He understands what he wants him to do. He understands the offense. He understands the ins and outs, and everything in a John Gruden offense is set up to always stay ahead of the chain. So if one play is called, there's always an out. There's always an out play in there where you could dump it off and pick up 3 or 4 yards and then stay ahead of the chains instead of, well, just throwing it away or just taking a sack or whatever. There's always basically, you know, a get-out-of-jail-free card in every single play that John Gruden runs. And so Derek Carr understands that. But he also now, and what he's showing in year three, which he wasn't showing last year or even the first year under John Gruden, he understands when to take a chance, when to check out of a certain play, when to throw the ball deep. You know, he understands when his playmakers an opportunity to go make a play. It's just different. His understanding of the offense, his command of the call out of that, he'll audible to something else, and then, boom, you'll see him pick up 4 or 5 yards. Or you'll see him check into a big-time play. He just understands it. He gets it. It's almost like he and John Gruden are in the same body, except for he's on the field and Gruden's on the sideline.
Interesting right there, because again, as we discussed earlier, there was a lot of mixed emotions about that relationship and that part, but the partnership seems to be working, and John Gruden has full confidence in Derek Carr going forward as the franchise quarterback. All right, Q, so the Las Vegas Raiders next opponent is the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons, it's been a tough year for them. Their last matchup did not turn out well at all. They were beat badly by their division rival, the New Orleans Saints. So the Falcons, they have a home game this coming Sunday against Las Vegas. So we know Matt Ryan is a former league MVP. He's played in the Super Bowl. He's a multiple Pro Bowler. We know this is not the Falcons team that it was from a few years ago. But if you're from a defensive side, how are the Raiders preparing for Matt Ryan?
That's a really good question, because it's not just Matt Ryan, you know. It's Julio Jones, it's Calvin Ridley, it's Todd Gurley. I mean, they got weapons offensively. They really do. And so I think it could potentially be a shootout. I think that Matt Ryan is in control of that offense. He does a good job getting the ball up and down the field. And, you know, I know that they didn't show well against the Saints and Taysom Hill, but I just think that was a one-off game for them. And they found multiple ways to lose games this year, but they've also shown that they can hang in any game this year. They can score pretty much with anybody. They have a lot of opportunities. So this is going to be a tough game for the Raiders. I don't think any game that they have coming up on their schedule is just a gimme game. But at the same time, I think this is a game that they should win. They should go in and expect it to win, just like they expected to win that game against Kansas City on Sunday night. Defensively, you just got to get some pressure on Matt Ryan. You got to make him a little uncomfortable. You know, and your defensive backs, they got to hold their water. They got to know their assignments because Julio Jones is a dog and Calvin Ridley's a dog as well, you know. And so Jonathan Abram, he's going to have to play discipline. A lot of times he likes to freelance. And freelancing when you're the safety is the last line of defense is not always a good option. Because if you freelance and you guess wrong, well, then that's a touchdown. And we saw that happen on Sunday night. So, I think that they're going to have their hands full defensively. It obviously always starts up front, though. You got to get some pressure on the quarterback. If Max Crosby, if Cleve Farrell, if he's able to come back, hopefully he is. He'll be back this week. I'm not sure yet, but hopefully he will. If he's able to get there, Carl Nassib, if he's able to get there, Malik Collins up the middle. I mean, there's guys on the defensive line that they get paid too. You know, they know how to butter their bread, man. They got to go after those quarterbacks and get them to the ground. They just got to do a better job of it. So Matt Ryan's going to be a tough out. But that's the task at hand. That's what the Raiders, if they want to be a playoff team, that's what they got to do. It starts this Sunday with Atlanta.
Yeah, the Raider defense, they definitely have their hands full. Julio Jones has been premier since he's in the league. Calvin Ridley is not small change by a long shot. And Hayden Hurst is really good at the tight end position. Of course, you can't count out Todd Gurley, like you said. So the Raiders defense definitely have their hands full on the offensive side. Let's switch sides now to the Raiders offense. We mentioned about Derek Carr and the Josh Jacobs and everyone else on the offensive side. What do you expect the Raiders' offensive attack to be on the Falcons' defense?
I mean, I just expect the Raiders' offense to do what they do. You know what I mean? And that's as real as it gets. Go out there and do what you can run with anybody in the league. I mean, I'm not concerned about them. I know Derek Carr's got it under control. I know that offensive line is one of the best and the most underrated offensive lines in the league. They block downhill. They block angry. They haven't even been consistently the same guys all year. Matter of fact, the starters have only played for 3 snaps total all season long, and it's been different guys the rest of the way. But Tom Cable's done a great job with that O-line. And like I said, for the defense, it starts up front. For the offense for the Raiders, it starts up front as well. They got to get that protection, and they got to open up some holes. If they do that, you're going to see a heavy dose of Josh Jacobs. You're going to see a heavy dose of Devontae Booker. You're going to see Derek Carr hitting Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, Nelson Aguilar, hopefully Henry Ruggs. I mean, you'll see those guys get involved, and they'll have those drives where they go up and down the field, and it won't be, you know, and it's not even being disrespectful to Atlanta's defense. It's just what it is. They're a high precision machine, a well-oiled machine right now, and so they're really tough to stop. And not allow them to get into the end zone and score. They're doing some really, really good things offensively. So I have no doubt that they're going to continue to be that team this year as far as the offense goes. It all is going to depend on what Raider defense shows up and now determine who's going to win this one.
All right, Q, well, great job, and thank you once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Tell everybody real quickly what you do as not only the host of the Locked On Raiders podcast, but also you're the co-host of the Silver and Black Attack today.
Yeah, no doubt. Locked On Raiders podcast, put that out every day. Usually it's up very early in the morning, so any time of day you can go wherever you find your podcast and find it. Like I said, Monday through Friday I do that. And then Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. I've been doing that with my co-host Scott Goldbranson, and that's on from 2 to 4 p.m. West Coast time. And we do that every single day as well. I'm traveling today, so I didn't get to do that show. I just got in from Vegas. But either way, it's a daily show as well. So we're doing the most. We're trying to do the most to give you as much Raider coverage as possible.
All right, and also you provide Raider content for a site called Black Hole Banter. Just tell everybody about that.
Yeah, that was the first podcast that I ever got on. That was Black Hole Banter, myself and James R. Solana. Yeah, we go back, man. We're 2 Bay Cats, you know, 2 Bay Area dudes. So we went back like the Commodores. And, yeah, man, we put that out. We do that like once a week as well. And you can always find that on my Twitter account, @YourBoyQ254. That's where you can find we'll always tweet out a little link to it and everything. So, yeah, man, staying busy. That's what I try to do.
And you're continuing to stay busy because you're also the host of a program called UNR, Unnecessary Roughness, on a local affiliate or local ESPN radio affiliate. Tell everybody a little bit more about that.
Yeah, no, every day, noon to 3, ESPN Central Texas, Unnecessary Roughness, like you mentioned. We have a heck of a show, and we cover everything. You know, we talk NFL, we talk college, we talk high school sports. I mean, we talk just a little bit of everything in the Central Texas area and national as well, but we like to focus on what's going on near home. So, yeah, man, just another thing on the plate right there, another another job duty. But it, like I said, if you ain't working, man, it's a problem. So I'm doing what I do.
Absolutely. You got that right. And you heard from him. He is your boy Q. He is the host of the Locked On Raiders podcast. He's also the co-host of Silver and Black Today. And he's currently host of UNR, Unnecessary Roughness, on the ESPN radio affiliate in Central Texas. Q, thank you so much for taking your time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. If ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
All right, my man. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you, my man. And we'll be back with more right after this.
Song he speaks along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold.
At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana. At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana.
For over 30 years, Lexus has made the driveway a special place. But this year, some new driveway traditions appeared, like birthdays and drive-by graduation parades. Here's to making the driveway the place to celebrate. Deck your driveway at the Lexus December to Remember sales event. Find exclusive offers on our most popular models with contactless delivery. Now through January 4th. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Click the banner to discover more.
You know what this is?
A commercial.
Right, and you know what that means.
Time for a snack?
Wrong. I want you to do some heart-healthy exercise. Yes, you! Try some seated leg extensions right now. Just lift each leg up and extend it straight one at a time, 6 to 8 times.
I can do that.
Yes, you can. Remember, every commercial is a chance to sneak in heart-healthy activity. Visit FindExerciseAnywhere.com and speak with your doctor to learn more about the risks of heart failure.
At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana.
You know what this is?
A commercial?
Right, and you know what that means.
Time for a snack?
Wrong. I want you to do some heart-healthy exercise. Yes, you! Try some seated leg extensions right now. Just lift each leg up and extend it straight one at a time, 6 to 8 times.
I can do that.
Yes, you can. Remember, every commercial is a chance to sneak in heart-healthy activity. Visit FindExerciseAnywhere.com and speak with your doctor to learn more about the risks of heart failure.
At Root, good drivers save up to 52% on car insurance. That's because we care most about what really matters, your driving. Not your age, not your job, not your zip code. It's how you actually drive that matters most to us. And it's the number one factor that determines your price. That's how good drivers can save up to 52%. Switch to Root today and see how much you could save. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.
You know what this is?
A commercial?
Right, and you know what that means.
Time for a snack?
Wrong. I want you to do some heart-healthy exercise. Yes, you! Try some seated leg extensions right now. Just lift each leg up and extend it straight one at a time, 6 to 8 times.
I can do that.
Yes, you can. Remember, every commercial is a chance to sneak in heart-healthy activity. Visit FindExerciseAnywhere.com and speak with your doctor to learn more about the risks of heart failure.
At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana.
You know what this is?
A commercial?
Right, and you know what that means.
Time for a snack?
Wrong. I want you to do some heart-healthy exercise. Yes, you! Try some seated leg extensions right now. Just lift each leg up and extend it straight one at a time, 6 to 8 times.
I can do that.
Yes, you can. Remember, every commercial is a chance to sneak in heart-healthy activity. Visit FindExerciseAnywhere.com and speak with your doctor to learn more about the risks of heart failure.
At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana.
You know what this is?
A commercial?
Right, and you know what that means.
Time for a snack?
Wrong. I want you to do some heart-healthy exercise. Yes, you! Try some seated leg extensions right now. Just lift each leg up and extend it straight one at a time, 6 to 8 times.
I can do that.
Yes, you can. Remember, every commercial is a chance to sneak in heart-healthy activity. Visit FindExerciseAnywhere.com and speak with your doctor to learn more about the risks of heart failure.
At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana. At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana.
You know what this is?
A commercial?
Right, and you know what that means.
Time for a snack?
Wrong. I want you to do some heart-healthy exercise. Yes, you! Try some seated leg extensions right now. Just lift each leg up and extend it straight one at a time, 6 to 8 times.
I can do that.
Yes, you can. Remember, every commercial is a chance to sneak in heart-healthy activity. Visit FindExerciseAnywhere.com and speak with your doctor to learn more about the risks of heart failure.
At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana. At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana.
Hi, I'm Liz Munoz, CEO of Torrid. Whether you're looking for sparkly or cozy, Torrid has it all for the holidays and beyond. From our bombshell jeans to our life-changing wire-free bras, all designed to fit your curves perfectly. So visit Torrid.com and feel the fit today.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to your boy Q, the host of the Locked On Raiders podcast, also doing some great work with Silver and Black today, giving us his insight on the Raiders' upcoming game against the Atlanta Falcons and so much more. All right, now let's get you to the most important games for Week 12 in the National Football League post-Thanksgiving. All right, so the NFL has confirmed for the time being we will have the game at Heinz Field in downtown Pittsburgh between the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Developing storylines again, Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins tested positive for COVID-19, and there were more players and more staff members that tested positive for the virus, and now Lamar Jackson has tested positive for COVID-19. So this changes everything as far as Baltimore's game plan coming into this game. So Robert Griffin III will be the starting quarterback for Baltimore. Offensively, they're going to be hurt. They don't have their running backs. They don't have their quarterback. And they're basically going to be starting from scratch. It's going to be interesting how this offense is going to run, considering Baltimore has had so many distractions this week with the COVID-19 diagnosis. And then on top of that, they've had staff members test positive. And then Coach Harbaugh has basically made it clear recently that everyone is banned from the practice facility up until Monday. So now with no access to the facility, it's going to be very interesting on how this thing unfolds. But Baltimore, I'm sure they have some type of game plan together. We don't know how they're going to run offensively or defensively, but they've got a tough task going up against the league's only remaining undefeated team, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger has been an MVP candidate this year. The running game has been effective with James Conner and Benny Snell. But how about the wide receivers? Of course, Juju Smith-Schuster's played nice, but how about Deontay Johnson and, of course, Chase Claypool? No one in the league expected this. People expected Pittsburgh to play well this year, but not like this. It's certainly not from that wide receiver play filled with so much depth on that squad. So offensively, they're playing well. Defensively, it's also translated on that side of the ball with Minka Fitzpatrick. Also, you had Bud Dupree, T.J. Watt, and a host of others on that squad. So certainly, Cameron Hayward's played well. So this is going to be an interesting game with the Ravens and the Steelers. Pittsburgh is going to be ready for this one. I don't know about Baltimore, because again, with all the distractions that they've had during the week with COVID, they were supposed to play the game on Thanksgiving night, and again, it was postponed until the afternoon game on Sunday. So it's going to be interesting how this one plays out with the Ravens and the Steelers. This next game is going to be a marquee matchup in the AFC South between the Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts. Tennessee pulled off a big win over the Baltimore Ravens in overtime, and then as for Indianapolis, they had an overtime thriller over the Green Bay Packers. So now this sets the stage on who could possibly win the AFC South. In Tennessee and Indianapolis, both teams are I won't say mirror images of one another, but they're different in a lot of ways. Tennessee, they've got a good quarterback with Ryan Tannehill, but their bread and butter is on the running game with Derrick Henry. They run the ball well with Derrick Henry, and of course they've also got, again, a nice defense as well. But Indianapolis, they come into this game with the number one defense in the league. They've got Phillip Rivers. They've got some solid running attack led by Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor. And again, Phillip Rivers, he should be ready to go for this game. He suffered a foot injury in the game against Green Bay last week, but he's expected to play in this game. This is going to be an outstanding matchup between Titans and the Colts. The next game that we have is the Carolina Panthers going up against the Minnesota Vikings. Carolina pulled off a big win over the Detroit Lions 20-0. So certainly Carolina, again, they won't have Christian McCaffrey again. That's huge because he's really the heart and soul of that offense. Teddy Bridgewater had limited practice this week, still having some swelling on his knee. So defensively, Carolina's played well lately, but they do have a solid quarterback with P.J. Walker, who played with the Houston Roughnecks of the AFL. So it's going to be, P.J. Walker played nicely for them. Hopefully it can translate as they hit the Minneapolis to play the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings coming off of a tough loss over the Dallas Cowboys last week, so the Vikings definitely need this game. They have to have this game if they want to have a chance to stay ahead of, to try to catch Green Bay and even Chicago in the NFC North. Again, Kirk Cousins has played well. Dalvin Cook is currently the leading rusher in the league. And, boy, Justin Jefferson has emerged as an elite wide receiver. So Minnesota offensively, they're playing well. Defense has picked it up lately, but the defense is definitely going to have to pick it up in this game. It's going to be, should be a good one between the Panthers and the Vikings. Next game is going to be outstanding between two quarterbacks, with Kyler Murray going up against Cam Newton and the Arizona Cardinals going up against the New England Patriots. Now, with the Cardinals, they lost a tough game last Thursday night to the Seattle Seahawks. That NFC West is so tight right now with the Cardinals and Seahawks, and then you've got the Rams in there. So Arizona still trying to stay afloat and trying to win that division, but they have to go up against a tough opponent with New England. New England still has a chance to not only get a playoff spot, but possibly win the AFC East, depending on what Buffalo does, because Buffalo's been has been hot this year. Cam Newton, Newton played well. They lost a tough one down in Houston to the Texans last week. They're looking to avenge a loss of their own as well. Rex Burkhead, New England running back, is done for the year. So he's been very vital to that Patriots offense the last several years. So New England is without one of their top running backs. And defensively, New England's played pretty well the last several weeks, but they have their hands full against that Arizona offense with Kenyon Drake, Chase Edmonds, Christian Kirk, of course, DeAndre Hopkins, and Larry Fitzgerald. This is going to be a great game in Foxborough between the Cardinals and the Patriots. My next game is going to be the New Orleans Saints going up against the Denver Broncos. The Saints I'm just going to say it right now. The Saints are the hottest team in the NFC right now. Drew Brees is going to be out for a while. He broke 11 ribs and had a collapsed lung. Alvin Kamara, who is my pick to win the league offensive player of the year, and you can put him in MVP talks as well. New Orleans led by Alvin Kamara, but also Taysom Hill, the Swiss Army knife. Taysom, so far, so good. He's a lot of Saints fans were worried about him, saying he might do okay, but he put up some solid numbers against a horrible Falcons defense last week. And, you know, the Saints defense, one of the best in the league. To me, one of probably is one of the most underrated defenses in the league with Cam Jordan, David Onyemata, also Marcus Davenport. You've got Janoris Jenkins, Malcolm Jenkins. You've got DeMario Davis and, of course, Kwon Alexander, the acquisition from San Francisco. So the Saints right now, at least in my book, are the best team in the NFC right now. And they continue that momentum as they head to the Mile High City to play the Denver Broncos. Denver pulled off a great come-from-behind victory over the Miami Dolphins last week. Drew Lock played an effective game. They got production from both of the running backs, Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay. Defensively, the Broncos played probably their best game in a long time, probably since the early part of the year. Bradley Chubb, also Shelby Harris. They've played. Denver's come along strong and played well as of recent. Their defense has played strong as well. So offensively, Denver's going to really have to bring it because the Saints are one of the best in the league in stopping the run. So I expect Drew Lock to have a big game because he's going to test those Saints defensive backs. Denver's got a nice receiving core as well. So it's going to be an interesting game out in the Mile High City between the Saints and the Broncos. Also, we've got a fantastic game. This may be a preview. It may be a preview of this year's Super Bowl between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. I mean, we've got the current going up against the future of the league. Both are Super Bowl winners. I mean, both quarterbacks have been battle-tested, and they're still doing their thing. Mahomes hasn't even hit his prime yet. Brady, he's still very much in his prime. But Tampa Bay, they're avenging a loss over the Rams on Monday night, so they've got a lot to play for. When I watched them, it seems they're still trying to get their offense together. It seems as though they're still trying to work out the kinks in terms of trying to get that continuity. It seems that Antonio Brown is still trying to find his way. Gronk is still trying to find his way. The running game has been off and on, has been in spurts this year. They couldn't get a running game going last week against the Rams. They may be able to get a running game going in this game against Kansas City defense. Kansas City's defense is decent. It's not where it needs to be, but they've got offense, and they've got a lot of it with Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman. Also, you can't be wrong, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, also Le'Veon Bell, Darrell Williams. So the Chiefs and the Bucks. This is going to be a fantastic game. It's going to be down in South Florida, down in Tampa. Weather's going to be nice and warm. Should be a great game. The Sunday night matchup, the rivalry continues, man, in the NFC North. The Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay lost a tough one last week to the Indianapolis Colts in overtime. They're coming home for this one, being Lambeau. Green Bay's got a lot to play for. They want to stay in first place, not just in the NFC North, but they're chasing New Orleans for that top spot in the NFC to get home field throughout the playoffs. And the Packers are going to be going up against a team that they've gone through a lot of changes offensively, that is. The Chicago Bears lost a tough one 2 weeks ago on Monday night against the Minnesota Vikings. Nick Foles suffered an injury to his hip pointer. It appears that he's going to be able to go for this game. And Chicago still trying to find their identity offensively. We know what they bring to the table defensively, but offensively they're still trying to find their identity. They have no offensive line, so Green Bay's defense look like they're up for a comeback. This is a comeback game for the Packers. Should be a great one, as always. And then Monday night, we've got a great one between the Seattle Seahawks and the Philadelphia Eagles. Seattle, big win last Thursday night against the Arizona Cardinals. Again, they're chasing Green Bay and they're chasing New Orleans for the top spot in the NFC to get home field throughout the playoffs. Russell Wilson is an MVP candidate. Chris Carson is expected to return for this game. As far as offensively is concerned, DK Metcalf has been great. Tyler Lockett is going to be great. Greg Olsen will not play in this game because he's hurt. He's going to be out for at least 4 to 6 weeks. Seattle's defensively, They haven't been good this year, but they got enough stops in the game on Thursday night against the Cardinals. Bobby Wagner and K.J. Wright have been playing at a high level this year, and they're going to try to take that high-level play to the city of brotherly love in Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. Yeah, Washington beat Dallas on Thanksgiving Day, but the division is still wide open. The Eagles can still win the division. They're currently one game behind Washington. Carson Wentz, the jury is still out on him. They don't know if he's the future. They don't know what's going on with the Eagles offensively. They just seem stagnant. Defensively, they seem stagnant as well. The Eagles are just still looking for answers. The consistency hasn't been there, just like the consistency hasn't been there in the NFC East. But I expect this to be a great game, a close game. This is a rematch of the wild card playoff game last year in Philly when the Seahawks won in a close one last year. It was a defensive showdown in last year's game between the Seahawks and the Eagles. So definitely to look forward to on Monday night between Seattle and Philly. All right, when we come back from the break, I'll have my game of the week. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up.
At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work. At AmeriHealth Caritas, Louisiana.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movements that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe. Everything's changed. Head to toe.
At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work. At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana.
Hey, Sarah.
Gosh, you're so cute. How do you know
Cap? Oh, Donovan, do it like I taught you.
Love the new tattoo, sir.
Let's go!
Dude, that's Sarah. The girl in the pink shirt, that's the girl I was telling you about.
Oh, that's Sarah?
Theater 2 on your left. Hey, Sarah. What color underwear today?
Hey, Sarah, so when are you going to post something new?
Anything you post online, anyone can see. Family, friends.
See you later, Sarah.
Even not so friendly people. Think before you post.
Hi, I'm Liz Munoz, CEO of Torrid. Whether you're looking for sparkly or cozy, Torrid has it all for the holidays and beyond. From our bombshell jeans to our life-changing wire-free bras, all designed to fit your curves perfectly. So visit Torrid.com and feel the fit today.
They said it could be some kind of food allergy.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
It happened like that, a full-blown asthma attack. It was scary.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
a fever, headaches. I have these red, itchy welts.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus from a mosquito.
A reaction triggered by cockroach allergens.
Bed bugs.
Threats to your health can come from the most unexpected places. Mosquitoes can transmit West Nile virus and also Zika virus. Ticks can carry Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and allergens from cockroaches can trigger asthma attacks, leading to respiratory distress. Don't wait until you or someone you love is suffering with unexplained symptoms. Get the facts you need to protect your family. Visit pestworld.org.
At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. All right, now it's time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Tennessee Titans versus the Indianapolis Colts. Tennessee has been a surprise team within the last couple of years in the National Football League. Last year, they played in the AFC Championship, losing to the Kansas City Chiefs. Who would have thought that the Tennessee Titans would have been playing in the NFC, in the AFC Championship game last year? Not me, but that's the beauty and the surprises of the NFL. You just never know. Meanwhile, as far as this year is concerned, Tennessee's played well this year. They got back on their winning ways, beating the Baltimore Ravens in overtime last week in a close one. Derrick Henry, him and Dalvin Cook are probably going to go down to the wire, probably on the final week of the season on who wins the NFL rushing title. Henry won it last year. He's looking to win his second consecutive one. Dalvin Cook is currently the league's leading rusher at the moment. Ryan Tannehill, solid quarterback, has been effective. Tennessee's defense has been solid, and they've got a tough division rivalry. They have a tough division rival ahead as they go up against the Indianapolis Colts. Indianapolis played a great game last week, beating the Green Bay Packers in overtime. And Phillip Rivers, I mean, the 2004 draft was Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and Phillip Rivers. And you can't forget about the other quarterbacks such as Drew the other quarterbacks that he's been in that same class with, such as Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers. But people seem to forget about Phillip Rivers almost. Phillip Rivers, we know he had great seasons with the Chargers when they were in San Diego, and then he played with them a couple of seasons when they were in Los Angeles. So Phillip Rivers is showing that, yeah, at my age, I'm still getting it done. And he got it done despite playing with a hurt foot in the game against the Packers. He seems he's going to be ready to go for this game against the Titans. So Tennessee and Indianapolis is going to be a fantastic game. This could be one of the show stealers of the weekend in the NFL in Week 12. It's a game I'm looking forward to. I know a lot of people are going to be looking forward to this game as well. I'm excited about it. This is going to be a team with the number one defense in the league going up against a team with one of the top defenses in the league. Offensively, you've got a future Hall of Fame quarterback going up against a quarterback that has been overlooked, someone that they've looked past him on many occasions. And you've got one offense that has one of the best running backs in the league going up against a team that has operated by running back by committee for much of the year. You've got a team with an offense that you know the receivers, and they're very capable of doing the job, against another team that has an offense that poses athletic receivers, but they're not household names. Regardless of who's involved in the game and the names and things of that nature, they both have great head coaches with Frank Reich with Indianapolis and Mike Vrabel with Tennessee. Titans and Colts is going to be a great game. That's my game of the week. When we come back from the break, I'll have my picks of who will win Week 12's most important games. I'm Ed Robinson. Thank you for listening, and you've listened to the NFL Wrap-Up.
.145/92 .180/111
.182/100 And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movements that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan. or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana. At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we help people get care, stay well, and build healthy communities. Care is the heart of our work at AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Before I give you my picks for the most important games for Week 12 in the NFL, the Houston Texans are releasing wide receiver Kenny Stills. According to a source from ESPN, the Houston Texans are releasing wide receiver Kenny Stills in a mutual parting. However, Stills is now available to sign and help the playoff team for the stretch run. So, again, the Houston Texans are going to be releasing wide receiver Kenny Stills. So that's a developing story right there. So it looks like Kenny Stills is going to definitely going to be playing for a playoff contending team. I know a lot of teams are going to be gunning for him. Will he return to the New Orleans Saints? Will he go to Green Bay? Will he go to Seattle? Will he go to Indianapolis or Tennessee? Who knows? I mean, Kenny Stills is one of the talented, one of the toughest and fastest receivers in the league. So, again, the Houston Texans are going to be releasing Kenny Stills in a mutual parting. All right, so now it's time for my picks for this week's most important games. Baltimore and Pittsburgh, I like the Steelers to beat the Ravens. My game of the week, Tennessee and Indianapolis, is going to be a close game, but I like the Colts to beat the Steelers. The Carolina Panthers going up against the Minnesota Vikings. I like the Vikings to beat the Panthers. The Arizona Cardinals and the New England Patriots, this is going to be a dogfight, but I like the Cardinals to bounce back to beat the Patriots. The New Orleans Saints going up against the Denver Broncos. It's going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be a closer game than what most people are expecting, but I like the Saints to win by a touchdown. The Kansas City Chiefs going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay will play much better in this game, but I think the Mahomes magic is still alive and well. I like the Chiefs to beat the Buccaneers. Sunday night, the Bears and the Packers, a traditional rivalry in the NFL. It's going to be a closer game than what people think, but I like the Packers to bounce back and win by a touchdown. And Monday night, Seattle and Philly, this is going to be a great game, a close game, but I like Seattle to beat the Eagles on Monday night. So, again, my picks are I like the Steelers, I like the Colts, I like the Vikings, Cardinals, I like the Saints, I like the Chiefs, I like the Packers, and the Seahawks. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of the NFL wrap-up. I want to send another big special thank you to your boy Q, host of the Locked On Raiders podcast, and also thank you to the listeners out there. I'm thankful for you on this Thanksgiving. Thank you for supporting the show. And that's going to do it for another exciting edition of the NFL wrap-up. I'm your host, Ed Robinson, and on behalf of everyone, I'd like to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. Talk to you again next week for another edition of the NFL wrap-up. So long, everyone.